This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Friday, December 12th. I'm Lisa Young. The Ouray School District is looking at calendar options for the next 2 years, according to reporting in the Ouray County Plain Dealer. Officials are considering feedback from a survey of parents, staff, students, and the community to help with the decision-making. Results of the survey show a preference to start the school year 2 weeks rather than 1 week before Labor Day. Respondents, however, did not show any real preference as to the date of the graduation ceremony and the length of breaks during the school year. The district also asked respondents to weigh in on whether the district should consider moving to a 4-day school week in the future. The Ouray School Board plans to discuss the calendar options during its meeting at 6 p.m. Monday, December 15th. Surface Creek community members are invited to participate in the annual Christmas dinner at 11:30 a.m. on Christmas Day. The meal will take place at the Stolte Shed in Pioneer Town, adjacent to Highway 65 in Cedar Ridge. Meals for homebound recipients will be delivered on the same day. Speaking of the holiday season, it is also a time when scammers are especially active. Eric Galatas from Colorado News Connection shares tips for outsmarting scammers this holiday season.
Nearly 9 in 10 adults in Colorado and across the U.S. report being targeted by scammers, according to a new AARP survey, and experts are warning people to stay vigilant during the holiday season. Mark Federhoff with AARP ElderWatch Colorado says it can be hard to resist answering the phone when you're expecting a call from a doctor or pharmacy. He adds if you do answer and someone asks you to verify a login and password or ask for any personal or financial information, hang up.
It's really important that we're being super cautious, especially for these numbers that are coming through that we're not familiar with. People can portray themselves as anyone. If you're not sure about who it is, I think the best thing you can do is disengage.
In 2023, Coloradans reported more than 800 imposter scams to the state's attorney general's office, but the actual total is likely much higher because victims frequently blame themselves and don't report being scammed. If anyone contacts you claiming to be with the IRS, Social Security, Medicare, the state, a local government, or even law enforcement, be skeptical. Government officials will never call, email, or text to ask for money or personal information. Federhoff says criminals are also getting better at using peer-to-peer payment apps like Venmo and Zelle to separate people from their money. He says text messages can be especially deceptive during the holiday season. If you're concerned about a gift arriving on time, check the tracking number provided by most delivery services. Be wary anytime you get a message telling you that a package is undeliverable.
They're trying to find out what numbers are live, and they're trying to find nice people who they can build a rapport with and then eventually ask for money. So I think it's really critical that people are very judicious about how they're managing their text messages, because we know that scammers are using text messages more than ever.
7 in 10 consumers are expected to give gift cards this year, but those cards frequently arrive with zero balances. Federhoff says that's because many gift cards conveniently on display at retail outlets have been targeted by scammers who record the card's number and security code or PIN. As soon as you buy the card, those funds can be siphoned into scammer accounts. More tips for outsmarting scammers are available online at aarp.org/fraudwatch. This is Eric Galatas for the Colorado News Connection.
On today's KVNF Farm Friday, a sweeping change to regulations on the hemp industry was inserted into the federal government's latest funding package. It would change the legal definition of hemp, resulting in banning of nearly all cannabinoid products. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KHN Stephanie Sear has more on how these changes will impact the more than $28 billion industry.
Christopher Lackner is the founder and president of the Hemp Beverage Alliance. That's the trade association for the hemp beverage industry, and they're based here in Salida. He says the bill to open the government included language that will essentially shut down the industry.
So the government eventually did open up, as we all know, and contained in that bill package was catastrophic language for our category. It was basically slipped in without discussion or debate through some parliamentary procedures, basically. And how it got there doesn't really matter so much as what it does. And as you said, it creates a new definition for what a hemp product is, and it does it in such a way that it essentially eliminates the entire market, not just for hemp beverages, which I represent, but also, you know, CBD products and hemp tinctures and other products that folks have been enjoying for the past 7 years.
He says the change will have far-reaching impacts from farmers to businesses involved in manufacturing and packaging.
What is really dispiriting here is that this is going to affect a lot of people. First of all, hemp farmers are going to be essentially, because there's going to be no market for their crop. Companies that are in the Hemp Beverage Alliance are obviously going to have their backs against the wall as well, because this new definition of hemp would basically make their products illegal. And I don't think anybody wants to be in the business of selling an illegal product. But there are also other ramifications for this up and down the supply chain. As folks know, alcohol consumption is on the decline right now. And so everybody that's in the current alcohol ecosystem is seeing hemp beverages as a great addition to their portfolio. So whether you are a distributor or a retailer, if you are a craft brewer, if you are a can manufacturer, an aluminum can manufacturer, everybody up and down the supply chain is going to be affected by this, not just now because of the business that is going to be lost, but in the future because this business is the hemp beverages are poised to boom in a very significant way. And so the lost revenue down the line is going to be absolutely, you know, significant and a huge problem for a lot of people around the country.
Lackner says there are some efforts to work with lawmakers to push for more sensible regulation.
The one silver lining that comes from this action to open the government is now a lot more people are aware of hemp beverages, and a lot more of the congressional folks in D.C. are realizing the catastrophic negative impact that was created by this bill that was passed. And so we are working with congressional folks across the country. There's a press conference going on this week in Minnesota where the senators are going to be talking about it. Legislators across the country are kind of waking up and realizing the impact that this is going to have on local businesses. And to be clear, this is a very local mom and pop type of operation that we're talking about. These are small craft brewers that have been selling these because craft beer is down in, you know, sales. This is, you know, co-packing facilities that are expanding and, you know, investing in technology and equipment in anticipation of this industry booming, only to be cut down at the knees. And, you know, there's a lot of tax revenue at stake here as well. You know, the state of Minnesota that has a thriving hemp beverage market is reaping significant tax benefits from these products. When they are regulated and taxed appropriately, you know, these fly off the shelves. And this is a good revenue gain for any state that is looking for money. And, you know, I don't know of any state that isn't looking for money these days. And again, this is just the beginning, or, you know, was the beginning of this category. The potential for this industry is monumental. If you think about other game-changing industries or products that have come online, think of, you know, hard seltzer, which didn't exist before and now it's ubiquitous. This would be like cutting off the entire hard seltzer category before it even had a chance to take off. And I think that's really the discouraging part of this legislation, and something that we hope to resolve very quickly.
Currently, the retail market for the hemp industry is worth $28 billion. Lackner says there is a potential for states to resist or adapt through their own legislation.
So already there are dozens and dozens of states, I want to say close to 32 or so, 32 states that already have a regulatory framework in place. So outside of Colorado, which has a regulatory framework, states like Georgia, Minnesota, New York, Connecticut, trying to think of some other good states that are in the area. Well, a whole wealth of them have varying degrees. Just like alcohol laws can change from state to state, they have different hemp beverage laws that vary from state to state. And so those states that have put the time in to regulate these categories and starting to see the benefit from it are certainly being cut down at the knees as well. And I think they're working and trying to figure out what their options are going to be. Now, when you talk about how federal law reacts or, you know, works with state law, that starts getting into some, you know, the devil's in the details when it comes to what kind of a distinction can be made for those. Ordinarily, the federal law would preempt what a state law would have in place, but there are ways around that. But the real problem is that we need to have this remain a federally legal product as it has been. To boil it down, or to bring it back and make it a state-by-state regulatory framework, it just causes great harm for the industry if you can't sell past your border.
For KHEN, I'm Stephanie Sear.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I'm Lisa Young.